to listen to the Left Traffic Podcast.
What is up, Left Traffic Nation? Welcome to episode 116 of the Left Traffic Podcast. I am your host, the professor, Brandon Crowd. Well, see, we got a racing done from this past weekend, and I tell you, after what has felt like months of just weekend after weekend of something planned, this past weekend was the last weekend of busy planned events for me, which is awesome. I'm excited to not have anything planned on the schedule. This past weekend, if you've been listening to the show for a minute, you know I love me some WWE. This past Saturday was a house show at LCA. So I typically rotate who goes with me. There's about four or five guys. We all hang out. We still like wrestling. I was going to go with one of them, but they all backed out once the Michigan MSU game got flexed to a night game. So I had to drag my poor wife to it. But I didn't feel too bad about doing that since I'm still collecting some brownie points from last weekend and throwing her that awesome surprise party. But we had fun. We went downtown a little early with some friends before the game. I had some drinks, went to dinner downtown before the show, which was cool. And to be fair, I am glad I missed that debacle of a game. But I will get into that with Aaron a little later in the show. And this weekend, like I said, there's nothing on the calendar other than racing. And, well, it's St. Paddy's Day this weekend, and it's the kickoff to all the college basketball tournaments, Big Ten tournaments this weekend. And like I said, it's St. Paddy's Day. Everybody's Irish for a day on Sunday, which is very cool. Going to be a lot of fun. Can't wait to hang out, relax, watch some racing. Have a couple drinks this weekend on St. Paddy's Day, as I'm sure you guys all will as well. All right, the racing this past weekend, ISM. I'm going to call it an odd weekend of racing, especially on Sunday, but I will get to that here in a bit once I get to the race breakdown. What's coming up today? Well, everybody's favorite Twitter parody account, the Orange Cone, is going to be on, talk a little ARCA racing and whatever other shenanigans I'm sure he will throw my way. Talk Xfinity Cup from Phoenix, social media shout-outs. Aaron will be on to talk the Michigan-Michigan State basketball game and hit us with some weather for Auto Club this weekend. Lucky dog lap down picks. And, of course, fantasy to close it out. All right, let's get rolling. Lap Traffic Nation making his ninth appearance on the show. The only guest I spend more time editing more than 5 minutes. An object that needs no introduction because he does all the talking. The Orange Cone, man, welcome back. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm not going to make any 5-minute jokes on this particular segment of the show, Brandon.
All right.
I will just say Lindsay is a very lucky woman.
You know, she is. And I'm a lucky guy, too. I'll say that, too. I definitely am. Cone, you are tied with the PETM podcast, man. Cone, right. you are tied with PETM at 9 appearances on the show, followed by Rick Brenner at 6, Chasm, Custer, DiBenedetto, and Tyler Riddick coming in at 4. So you are atop and tied on the leaderboard.
Well, see, those guys, PETM,
yeah.
As you know, I'm a terrible podcast host, so it's like I'm in a category all of my own.
I love it. All right, man, it's been a minute since we've talked on air. What's new with you? How's life?
Life is wonderful. It's been a pretty fun start to 2019 for me. You know, a lot of people may know what I actually do for a living. I'm not going to divulge that just now, but suffice it to say, we've had a pretty good start to our season, and it's been a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to a month off before our next event, so we'll get back to it in the month of April and start getting rolling into our season. But it's been a pretty interesting start to the racing season so far, hasn't it, Brandon?
It really has. So, all right, so we won't divulge, but we'll just say it's no secret that the Orange Cone is a fan of the ARCA racing. So let's talk some ARCA.
All right, Brandon, I have to fine you $5. It's the ARCA Menards series.
ARCA Menards series. I'm sorry. Yeah, all right, so you guys are two races into the season. Big start to the season with Harrison Burton winning at Daytona. This past weekend, Michael Self picked up the win at Five Flags Speedway. Go into a little bit. What's the mood like around the whole Arca Menard series right now?
Well, the mood is very, very good. You know, we've got a lot of good things going on. Obviously, ARCA was acquired by NASCAR last year. That acquisition has gone into full effect here in 2019. They're working on a lot of really cool things for next year as far as, you know, some equivalency stuff with the K&N series, some scheduling stuff. To try to bring their teams into our events, our existing events, I should say, because once we kind of blend these series together, there's not going to be an us versus them anymore. You know, everybody's going to kind of be on the same page. So, yeah, there's a real good vibe going on right now. There's a lot of positive things going on. You know, I realize car counts, you know, everywhere are down. They're a little down as far as we are concerned, but you know, the races that we put on, particularly the race at Five Flags, I thought was just an astounding race. It was really fun to watch. It was really fun to be a part of. And
what would you say? What's your average field?
Well, I mean, the super speedways kind of skew things a little differently. Our short track fields range between 20 and, you know, 25, 26, you know, and we'd like to get that up into the 30 range, you know, no doubt about it. But, you know, it's a difficult time in big league motorsports for a lot of different series, you know, so that's why we are really looking forward to 2020 and blending in the K&N Pro Series into what we're doing. And we really think that will bring a lot of really great race teams into a lot of these traditional ARCA events. I think it's going to be great.
Do you think that could ARCA kind of absorb K&N East and West to where it's maybe one bigger, longer season, or is it just kind of, hey, you know, you're going to open it up to where the cars and the requirements kind of fit all three race series?
Well, I'm not high enough up on the food chain to be involved in those discussions, but I really do think, at least for the short term, foreseeable future, that they will remain separate. You know, I think there will, you know, for that period of time, there will be a K&N East, there will be a K&N West, and there will be the ARCA Menard series. And at 10 races a year on the traditional ARCA short track races, all three of those, you know, individual series will be welcome to come and compete, and the best team will win. You know, I think that's how it's going to be. And, you know, what those 10 races are, I think that's kind of open for debate at this point. You know, and I say that knowing that, you know, we haven't even really started laying out a 2020 schedule yet, but, you know, I think that there's an opportunity for some of those K&N events maybe to get put on to our short track schedule somewhere along the line there. And, we'll just see how that plays out.
I love it. You mentioned you guys are off for about a month here. Your next race isn't until April 14th when you guys head to Salem. Pretty long break there. What's the day-to-day office like for you in such a long break?
Well, I have to tell you, it's really fun to be a part of that whole organization because we spend a lot of time working really, really hard. I mean, it's not a big organization. You know, I know a lot of people really think that, you know, ARCA and has always had this, you know, huge organization, and it got absorbed by NASCAR, so that means we've got even more people working for us. You know, there's 9 people that work in our office, you know, and we put on some really big events, and we get a lot done with a very small staff of people, and we have a really good time while we're doing it. You know, there's a lot of laughing, there's a lot of joking, there's a lot of it's just a good time. It's a great atmosphere to be a part of on a daily basis. And, you know, it's one of the reasons why I enjoy going to work every day. I know that we're going to have a good time. I know we're going to get what we need to get done. And, you know, I think that's how it should be.
That's awesome.
You know, this is racing. You know, I said this on Twitter the other day. You know, there are a lot of people in this sport who don't have a good time doing this. It's not fun. You know, racing is supposed to be fun, man. You know, that's the whole reason we all got into this, you know, whether we were, you know, 5 years old or 25 years old, you know, the reason we started wanting to be involved in racing is we thought it was fun. Well, it's still fun for me, and I'm having a good time doing it. And, you know, I'm going to continue to make sure I have a good time doing it because I don't want to have to get a real job, you know?
I feel you. I love it. That's awesome. All right. So you mentioned earlier, you know, NASCAR acquired the ARCA Racing series. You know, obviously there's pros and cons when something like that happens. I don't want to put you on the spot for a con, but what are some of the good things that have come of it, and what are some things that might still need to be sorted out with a newly acquired acquisition
There's a lot of pros, you know. There's, you know, just when it comes to having, you know, a second set of eyes or a second set of hands when you're writing rules, or, you know, they were down in Daytona and assisting us with the inspection process, and, you know, if we're working on a marketing platform, I mean, the whole Menards series entitlement sponsorship, you know, NASCAR had a huge hand in that. You know, they're just, the pros are limitless, and to be able to go and when you are, you know, we go into Salem, Indiana, which is a small town in southern Indiana, you know, to sit there and say, hey, this is actually, you know, although it is sanctioned by the Automobile Racing Club of America, we are now part of NASCAR. You know, this is a NASCAR branded event. You know, that's a pretty big thing to be able to say. And it draws a lot of attention from people who may not otherwise want to pay attention to what you're doing. So there are a lot of pros. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, for a very small company, you know, 9 people that has been family owned and operated for 67 years, I'm not going to call it a con, but there are things that the processes are different.
Sure.
You know, they have their way of doing things, and they've asked us to do, you know, some things that are vastly different than the way they did things for 67 years. Again, that's not a con by any stretch of the imagination. It's just things that we have had to get used to doing on a little bit different way than we had been used to doing.
Yeah, no, so that's understandable.
It's just getting up to speed, and, you know, but again, even still, you know, it's still wonderful to be a part of that whole network and that group, and to know that you have a lot of people and a lot of resources to draw from when you need it. It's a really reassuring feeling.
That's awesome. So is the cone at each race? Is he out with the people?
The cone is at each race, man. That's, I mean, awesome. I was down at Five Flag Speedway and having a great time.
So we'll see the cone at MIS here in really less than 3 months, which is awesome.
I'm hoping the cone is still going to be doing the same thing at MIS he's been doing for the past 6 years. You know, I don't want to give that gig up. That was a pretty fun deal. So,
absolutely.
You know, we'll see how that works out. I mean, as you know, I've had a lot of fun working the microphone at those race weekends down there, and
absolutely,
I would keep doing it as long as they'll have me. I'll keep doing it.
Excellent. So, Cone, for the listeners out there that, you know, maybe, you know, don't get to watch ARCA as much or are able to pay attention as much as maybe they'd want, who are some names that you know, we should be paying attention to in the ARCA series?
Oh man, we've got a lot of great young kids as a part of this deal right now. Obviously, Michael Self, who just won our race at Five Flags. Michael's 27 years old, and he is, I'm just going to say it this way, by far the oldest driver in the top five.
Okay.
At Five Flags. I think he's got something like 9 years on the next oldest guy. You know, you've got to look at drivers like Christian Eckes, Chandler Smith, Joe Graff Jr., Brett Holmes, you know, Corey Heim, a young kid who made his debut down there this weekend and finished fifth. Ty Gibbs, Coach Gibbs' grandson, made his debut and finished second.
Awesome.
Down there with Five Flags. I mean, there's the young talent that we have in our series right now is fantastic. I mean, that's why I said, you know, even though we've only got, you know, 20, 24 cars showing up at some of these short track races, the depth in that field is fantastic. I mean, there were times, you know, back in the 90s where I would go to an ARCA race and there would be 60 cars entered, and you knew two of them had a shot to win. You know, now we've got, you know, 24 cars coming to some of these races, and 12 or 14 of them have a shot to win. You know, so that's a much different equation, and sure, it's a lot of fun when you don't really know what's going to happen when you drop the green flag.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. I can't wait to check them out in June at MIS. So, what are the are there any big plans for the rest of 2019 for the Orange Cone?
I'm just going to try to irritate the heck out of my girlfriend as much as I can. I've been doing a wonderful job today.
Excellent.
Job well done.
Excellent. Excellent.
I'm going to get irritant of the year. That's going to be the next trophy I put on my desk.
All right. I can make that happen, I bet. Cone, where can everybody follow you at on social media?
What was that, Brandon?
Where can everybody follow you on social media?
Oh, there's only one place to follow me on social media, Brandon, at the Orange Cone on Twitter.
Fantastic.
Oh, yeah. At Arca Insider, that too.
Oh, right. Yeah. I forgot about that. Yes, yes.
Right. I may actually send a tweet from that account from time to time.
There we go. Cone, thank you for coming on the show for your ninth appearance. Thank you for bringing some.
Have me on next week. You need to have me on next week just so I can have my 10th appearance. Cone, I do not want to be tied with PET on.
Cone, if you want to come on next week, I can make that happen.
Why were they? So that means technically they were in the lead up until I did this.
That is a true statement. Yes.
You know what?
Yes.
That's just you two, gratifying each other.
Oh, wow.
Because they have you on, you have them on. I get it. Right.
Yes. Well, you know, it's good cross promotion of the show.
Right, so that doesn't even really count. Right. It's just cross promotion doesn't count. So right. Yeah, again,
so you are in the lead. You are in the lead. Yes,
I am the best. I am the best guest. The
rationalized yes,
winner. Right.
Yes.
The rationalized winner. I like it.
I like it. I like it. All right, Cone. Thank you for coming on the show. Thanks for spreading some awareness of the Arca Menards series. Thanks for your ninth appearance. I know you'll be on here soon. Great right. to hear from you as always.
Hey, before we go, yes. I have a question to ask you.
Yes, how's old Gare?
How's Lindsay doing?
Lindsay's good. I threw her a surprise 35th birthday last week.
Yeah, tell her I said happy birthday, baby.
I will definitely do that.
All right. Thanks, Brandon.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you, man. We'll see you soon.
Yep.
Bye. Well, the Orange Cone, ladies and gentlemen, I came so close to not having to edit. That was almost perfect. Went in the ditch there for about 5 minutes. Took me about 15 minutes to clean it all up. So, but there you have it. Love the Orange Cone. Thank you for coming on. And hey, you know, got a little insight on the Arca Menards series, something that don't normally get to hear about too often, at least on this show. So it's nice to change things up a bit there and look forward to Cone's future appearances this year. As you know, there will be many, and can't wait for that. All right. What do you say we talk a little racing from this past weekend at ISM? Well, there was not a truck race for Kyle Busch to dominate this weekend, but that's okay because I hear he won a couple other races, which I'll get to that in a minute here. Thought I'd just recap the truck standings since there was not a race to talk about. Grant Enfinger is our truck series leader, followed by rookie Harrison Burton in second, Daytona winner Austin Hill in third, Stuart Reason in fourth, Brett Moffitt in fifth, Johnny Sauter sixth, Matt Crafton in seventh, and Ben Rhodes wraps up the top eight in the truck standings. Next truck race, which I cannot wait for, Saturday, March 23rd at the Paperclip, Martinsville. Definitely looking forward to that one. All right. Let's move over to the Xfinity Series. Stage 1 winner, Austin Cindric. Stage 2, Christopher Bell. And race a winner, Kyle Busch. So, the Xfinity race started out pretty clean through Stage 1 until about 13 to go when Bailey Curry got in the wall to bring out the yellow with 12 laps to go in Stage 1. Opening up some different kind of pit strategy to play out there. Christopher Bell really dominated Stage 1 until that caution came out, holding off Kyle Busch by times of over a second lead. I'll say that again. He held off Kyle Busch by sometimes over a second lead. He restarted after that caution eighth due to coming to pit road during that late stage one caution. At restarts, man, they were wild throughout the entire weekend. Everyone fanning down below the yellow line, beating and banging on the doors. Saw Annette and Haley, who are up in the top 10, banging off of each other. That allowed Bell to move up into third, just two laps into that restart. But pit strategy, as I mentioned, with the caution coming out so late in stage one, paid off for Cindric. Had he not won the stage, staying out would not have done anything for him other than put him back in the field for the start of stage two, which is where he ended up. But at least he got the playoff point, which is key in the Xfinity series. It's the series we see the least playoff points earned by the regulars there. FYI, Cindric restarted 12th for stage two and finished sixth and finished the race in fifth. So the gamble paid off, got a top five out of the day and got a playoff point. So pit strategy there early in the race paid off for Austin Cindric. Second stage restart, Kyle jumped out to an early lead over Bell and Nemechek. Kyle was able to hold it for about 24 laps. Bell passed Kyle Busch on the track with about 18 to go and was able to cruise to the stage two win. No caution during the stage, took strategy out of play as everyone was going to come down to pit road to start stage three. And a 100-lap shootout to start stage three. Kyle jumped out to an early lead, which was followed by a tough break for Bell and Allgaier as they got caught up on the track behind Light, who blew up in a cloud of smoke. Bell and Allgaier just blinded with nowhere to go. Can't imagine, hitting oil, not being able to see anything in a cloud of smoke. And Bell was really Kyle's only real threat. Allgaier made an attempt late race. But, man, you take those two out, it really made for smooth sailing for Kyle Busch, who was able to run the last 50 laps unopposed, picked up the win with almost a 4-second lead over Ryan Truex for win 198 across all three series. Some notable finishes: Ryan Truex in second, rookie Chase Briscoe and John Hunter Nemechek both with top 10s, rookies Noah Gregson and Justin Haley finished 11th and 12th. That's four rookies finishing 12th or better. And a solid day for Jeremy Clements, had a solid finish, brought it home 13th. Over to the Xfinity standings, Tyler Riddick is our leader over Christopher Bell in second, Cole Custer third, Michael Annette fourth, Brennan Jones fifth, Austin Cindric sixth, John Hunter Nemechek in seventh, Noah Gregson eighth, Justin Allgaier ninth, Ryan Sieg in 10th, Ross Chastain in 11th, and Justin Haley wraps out the top 12. Next race, this Saturday, 5 o'clock at Auto Club. Definitely looking forward to that one as well. Watch these Xfinity cars get out on that big Y 2 mile track. All right, over to the cup race. It was Blaney for stage one, Kyle Busch for stage two, and a race a winner taking a bow is Mr. Kyle Busch for 199. All right, so Chase jumps the start of the race, has a pass-through penalty. He was able to recover, but not fully recover. He finished ninth in both stages, finished the race 14th. Not horrible, just could not get to the front, and with his key as track position was, just couldn't get back to the front. Late spin that he had didn't help matters either. You know, to me, it looked like you could pass mid-pack pretty easily, but once you got into the top 10, it was really difficult to catch the guy in front of you and make a move. Just to show how difficult that was, Kyle Busch had to use a pick move to take the lead over Blaney on lap 37. Eric Jones brought out the first caution when he went around on the track, which led to some interesting pit strategy here, too, kind of like we saw in the Xfinity race. Denny Hamlin, Austin Dillon, Jimmy Johnson only taking two tires on that first caution. Kyle Busch thought four tires was needed. He took four, and it took him all of about a lap to get back to point. Keselowski brought out the yellow with 12 to go in stage one, which is when the yellow was brought out in the Xfinity Series 2. Some irony there. Again, set up for some different pit strategies. Stage two, pretty dominant performance by Kyle, who picked up the stage two win under caution as Bowman brought out the yellow very late, unable to get it back to green to race for the stage two win. Kyle Busch took that under yellow. Early caution in stage three for McDowell, which saw Twitter lose its mind. I thought that was pretty funny. Bowman brought out his second caution and seventh of the day around lap 195. Chase spins after talking about a loose wheel, brought out the eighth caution with just under 100 to go. Lots of two-tire stops with under 100 to go. Guess who took four? Our race winner. The 18 took four. Worked for him early in the race, knew it was going to work for him late in the race. With about 50 to go, Ryan Truex pulled out to about a second and a half lead over Kyle Busch. And it was interesting. It was at this point they were talking a lot of race teams were talking about fuel potentially being an issue based on when they pitted with that last caution there. Truex and Blaney, they tried to make it a race, but they did not have anything for the 18. Kyle Busch was definitely the strongest car all day in the Cup. Was not the strongest car in the Xfinity Series. That was definitely Christopher Bell. But Cup race, definitely Kyle had the strongest car all day, which has led to another social media losing its mind over the 199 and the 200 wins and all that nonsense. I've talked about that a lot. I think it's special what we're watching, regardless of what you know, category or, you know, what slot you're throwing the win in across the series. He's an unbelievable driver, and it's fun to watch history in the making there. So that's how I'm viewing this whole situation. Big question, when will he get that 200 win? Will it be this weekend in either the Xfinity or Cup? I personally think he'd like it to be in a Cup, but I'm sure he will take the win where he can get it. Let's see, some other notables. Blaney looked really good, finished third. Nice day for Almirola in fourth. Kurt Busch, another quiet, solid top 10. Pit strategy early on, taking two tires, helped Jimmy Johnson get a top 10 and get a little TV coverage there for his new sponsor, Ally. Roush drivers, Newman and Stenhouse, inside the top 15. So we're four races in. We've got two Penske wins, two Joe Gibbs wins, and four different winners. So that's the early breakdown there. Over to the standings. Kyle Busch, race leader over Joey Logano. Kevin Harvick in third. Denny Hamlin in fourth. Martin Truex Jr. in fifth. Kyle Larson in sixth. Eric Almirola, seventh. Brad Keselowski in eighth. Kurt Busch in ninth. Stenhouse wraps out the top 10. Clint Bowyer in 11th. Blaney in 12th. Elliott, 13th. Eric Jones, 14th. Jimmy Johnson, 15th. And Alex Bowman wraps out the top 16. Next race this Sunday, 3:30 from Auto Club Speedway. It's Michigan's sister track, so I'm very curious to see what the racing looks like this weekend. All right, it is time for a little social media. Everyone, make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, at Lap Traffic PC. And on Instagram, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Make sure you subscribe to the show on iTunes, Podbean, Spreaker, Stitcher, Google Play, Blueberry, TuneIn, Acast. It's out there wherever you can find it. Leave a comment if you want to. Much appreciated. Getting so close to 3,500 followers, just like 200 followers away from being able to give away that 124 diecast signed by Richard Childress. Get a t-shirt. And one of these days, I still have a couple t-shirts with the traditional logo on it. As you know, I added some secondary logos, which are scattered throughout the website. So if you haven't checked that out, go check out thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Click on the different pages there. You'll see some different variations of the logo. I'm going to get some t-shirts eventually with those. You can get them online on the store if you want, but I need to go order some freebies to give away on social media there. And speaking of social media, over to Twitter for some new follower shout outs. Tammy Weinberger at Famous Tammy 12, Big Smoke fan and Ryan Blaney fan. Braxton Crisp at Braxton Crisp, local beat writer for Michigan Sports Entertainment. Matt Vecchio at MVecchio 81 from New York and a diehard daily fantasy player for NASCAR. Maybe we should talk. You can help me out a little bit there on DraftKings. Brad Lawrence at Brad 3312 from Yorkville, Illinois, big NASCAR and Wolverine fan. Go Blue. And how cool is this? Pocono Raceway at Pocono Raceway giving a follow, which is awesome. Thanks for the follow, guys. I appreciate that. I've got koozies. If you want one, go visit the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Go to the contact page. All you gotta do is send us a request, and I will send you one for free. No questions asked. All right. The business is done. Let's bring Mr. Aaron Studwell on. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, back for his weekly weather report. You can follow him on Twitter at RaceWeather and on the web at RaceWeather.net. The wonderful Mr. Aaron Studwell. Sir, how are you?
I'm doing well. You flatter me. How are you about yourself?
I try. I'm not bad. Well, I'd be better if Michigan could win a big game. Once again, no victors to play Aaron onto the show, which means Michigan lost another big one. Man, boys in blue, Rough stretch there towards the last third of the season.
Yeah, I'm looking at my notes here, and I was doing show prep and kind of looking at the scenarios for the Big Ten tourney. And my first bullet point, disappointing end to season.
Yeah.
And it really has been across the board. Yeah, you can't win the big games. You know, the games you should win, the Nebraskas.
Yeah.
They win. They win big. They look good. But when they get tested, and they are tested through a good part of the Maryland game.
Yes.
Both of them.
Yep.
And then they're tested really towards in the second half of both games against State. And I'm not sure to say they folded is quite the right term, but boy, they did not rise to the challenge.
No. You know, well, you start, you know, what was it, 17-0 to start the season, you know, top five in the rankings. You know, you kind of set expectations as things go along, and as the expectations were not met, it's kind of a bummer.
Yeah, I guess you're right. If you kind of lose along the way and you're a team, you know, but I'd rather do that. I'd rather kind of lose early than come back late, kind of what UNC's, North Carolina's done and Kentucky's done, than kind of what we're doing. And you go down, you go into the tournament, and you're stumbling, and you're struggling. And then you look at the tournament, and then it's they're going to play the winner of the Iowa versus the winner of the Illinois Northwestern game. And that's just an odd, long sentence.
Right, yeah. But, I had that written down, too. And to be honest, I hope it's Iowa, because they embarrassed us, and I'd like to get a little redemption against Iowa.
Well, you know, I agree with that sentence, but I'll flip it around a little bit. I'll say we embarrassed ourselves.
That's true, too. That's true, too.
Because yeah. You can go out and lose to a team if that team's the better team. But when you're going out and making mistakes and playing careless and having too many fouls, and that was just a problem again this past Sunday. It was foul problems and getting into foul trouble early, and then beeline. And I know Izzo did the same thing. When guys get two in the first half, you're going to sit down.
Oh, yeah.
We don't – and this has been a theme all season. We don't have the bench depth
to be able
to do that.
Yeah.
And last year, that bench depth was Jordan Poole. And I'm thinking mostly the NCAA tournament, and maybe somebody steps up at tournament time.
Hey, you know, it's always a time to shine. You know, I'm obviously not counting them out. You know, I'm a little bit more cautious when I'm going to be filling up my bracket with them. I will say that much. But
well, that's the beauty of having multiple brackets.
Absolutely. You know, $10, you don't mind dropping, you know, a few of those bad boys down there. But yeah, it should be interesting. You know, the last couple of years, Michigan has stepped it up during the Big Ten tournament, back-to-back champs. So we're going for a three-peat here. And they've carried momentum into the big dance. So,
and I'm going to say you're looking at my notes over my shoulder, but I don't know how. I'm much closer to you now. I'm actually in Versailles, Kentucky. But I historically improve at the end of the season in tourneys. But I want to finish it off with my thought of I'm not sure this team is designed for that.
Right. No, I'm with you. So, yeah, so the expectations been adjusted slightly here a little bit, but that's okay. It's still been a very fun season to watch with these guys.
Hey, and I'll go to this. And I was looking, you know, I was doing the show prep for this portion. There is an article on one of the sports sites, 345 teams that don't have a shot at winning the tournament.
Oh, wow.
Okay, that's a lot, yeah. But Michigan, yeah. So I'm not a fan or alum of one of those teams. My other two alumni, Texas A&M, they're in the not going to make a category, and U of H, they'll make the tournament. They've been a top 20 team last two-thirds of the season, but Houston's not designed. They may be a Sweet 16 team,
sure,
but I don't think they'll go any further than that. Maybe Elite Eight, I doubt it.
All right. Well, I suppose we should talk a little NASCAR and a little weather here. What'd you think of the race this past weekend at Phoenix?
Well, that does go to the name of the show, Lapped Traffic. And I will say, every time I'm going to make a drinking game, every time I see, oh, yeah, he's encountering lapped traffic, I'm like, I think of the show. So we've really got to push that. We've got to push that theme.
Absolutely. I'm with you. I'm with you there 100%.
I watched a little bit of both races because I'm working overnights now, but I woke up in time for I think all of stage three of both races.
Okay.
I guess that's my answer. I don't know. I thought there was good race. And I saw this is maybe more of the Vegas race. There was a good video that I saw tweeted comparing long runs between 18 and 19.
Okay.
and how much more packed together they are and how much closer the racing is. And I think statistically there are more there have been more leaders, there have been more passes on the lead lap, there have been more passes for the lead. So I think the racing's probably better. And I wasn't happy with the results. No, I'm not a big Kyle Busch fan. But you saw in the last 20 laps of the race a definitive pass for the lead, and where they fought one another for two or three laps.
Yeah.
But it just came out that maybe the Gibbs stuff is better than the Penske stuff right now. Not surprising. And maybe if it was one of the other Penske drivers, it would have a different result. Nothing against Blaney, but Kyle Busch has a lot of experience. That's his home track.
Yep.
And I think he just – it didn't surprise me to see him with a – what was 17 to go, pass for the lead and just kind of run away with it.
Check
Truex
out.
Made a charge late.
Yep.
Maybe five more laps, but, yeah, it's not how the racing is designed. But I think the racing has been better. I thought the racing was pretty good at Phoenix. I love the track. I love the design. I love, you know, having a mile track now.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I definitely do like the track. That's for sure.
And one thing I never realized was the configuration of the track, of that little dip down before you go up. So it's kind of like Dover, but a little less in the banking.
Oh yeah. Yep. Yeah. No, it's you know, that dive down is you know, and when you think of all the downforce that they've got on the car now, that can get interesting, as we saw,
yes.
You know, 4, 5, 6 wide there. All right. Well, we finished the West Coast swing with Fontana or Auto Club Speedway. What's the weather? What are we looking like?
I'm laughing because I had Fontana written at the top of my page. I'm like, wait a minute, this is Auto Club, and it's been Auto Club for 4 or 5 years.
Well, it's just like ISM. Yes. It's Phoenix. It's not ISM. I went on a whole tirade about that last last show. Comparing,
yes, I know.
You do. Yes. So I don't need to go back and rehash that out. But
you can if you like. No, it's your show.
I don't need to. Trust me. So all right, weather, Auto Club. There we go.
Auto Club, weather at Auto Club. And for as much as it's been raining, and as much as we've had this atmospheric river and Pineapple Express and these low pressure centers coming through, it's gonna be really nice. Friday practice for both Xfinity and Cup, and then Cup qualifying. Mostly sunny skies, 72 for the high, 45 for the low. Sunny skies for the Production Alliance Group 300. And my first thought when I wrote that down was, I'm going back to what PETM said last year. This is a B2B sport now.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%.
Sunny skies. And 76 for the high, 48 for the low. Temperatures continue to climb through the weekend. Mostly sunny skies on Sunday. High of 80, low of 51 for the Auto Club 400.
Excellent. Wow. That's something to tip your hat to and look forward
easy
to.
Easy weekend.
This St. Patrick's Day weekend.
Yep.
Coming up.
No green on the radar. I'm just green in the beer.
Excellent.
I'm using that on Twitter.
Oh, you got to end it with that. That's a mic drop right there. I love that one. You're going to have to tweet that out. No green on the radar, just green in the beer. That's fantastic. I love it. All right, everyone. Make sure you're following Aaron on Twitter at RaceWeather and on the web at raceweather.net. Sir, we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good. Really appreciate it.
Yep. We'll see you.
Talk to you soon.
Always great catching up with Aaron. Maybe one of these days we'll be able to play Hail to the Victors to bring him on the show with a big Michigan win. But dogs barking in the background, you know what that means. It's time for this week's Lucky Dog and Lapdown Picks of the Week. You know what to do. Make sure you send your picks for your Lucky Dog and Lapdown after the race weekend. Tweet me at LapTrafficPC, or you can call the Waiver on Hotline at 248-965-9538 and leave your picks there, and I will play them back. All right, I'm getting right into it. My lucky dog of the race weekend, Kyle Busch, just is on one hell of a roll. It's hard not to pick him for the lucky dog. Over to my lap down, Kevin Harvick. Hey, man, it was your track. And I am also the first person to give Harvick a lap down this season. So who would have thought that one? All right, let's get over to your tweeted responses. Mick at GoDucks42_Mick. His lucky dog is Kyle Busch for sweeping the weekend. Great minds think alike, Mick. Lap down. Teams with stupid mistakes, lots of mistakes, are costing teams a good finish. There have definitely been some pit road mistakes over these first four races. That is for sure. Gina at loves JJ 48 Lucky Dog goes to the 48 for the best race in a long time. A lap down. Kyle Busch for being a whiny weasel every week when he loses. It's always someone else's fault. And then a pompous ass when he wins as if he's the only reason they won. I'll give you your lucky dog. That's for sure. Definitely. Jimmy Johnson had his best race in a long time. And who knows, maybe he'll be able to propel that into a stretch here. Who knows? Lisa at LL Chananas, a lucky dog. Actually, she didn't give a lucky dog. She was torn between two lap downs. She was torn between Matt D because he was having a great race, or Blaney because he lost the duel at the end. Both good ones there, Lisa. Jesse at Iowa, NASCAR fans, lucky dog. Suarez earned a lot of respect Friday. And let's remember, a Logano success took an incident similar to this one to fire him up. Good analogy there. I like that one. Lap down, McDowell started the Friday incident with the 41. Won't take his helmet off. If you want to fight, take the lids off. He definitely got some criticism for that. That's for sure. Scott at 1985 Wagner's lucky dog, Kyle Busch. Lap down, Kislowski. Plain and simple. I like it. Amateur NASCAR fan at Amateur NASCAR's lucky dog, ISM and ISM Raceway just spent big money, and it would have been a bummer if a bad race overshadowed the great facility. Lap down, Kyle Busch haters. They are witnessing history and spending it being mad instead of in awe. I'm with you there. I can appreciate when there is history being made in the present. It's fun to step back and take it in. Eddie at EG3_FastEddie's lucky dog, Truex brothers, Ryan and Martin, both with strong runs of second place in their races. Good call there. Lap down going to McDowell. Seems like he couldn't get off the mat after Suarez took him down after qualifying. All right. Those are the tweeted responses. Let's get to the wave around hotline.
Hi, Brandon. It's Kathleen at KHI Fan. I did not see the Xfinity race, so I don't know whether that was a good race or not. Though I do know that I had a decent finish for my fantasy team, so I'm happy with that. Otherwise, I did enjoy the Cup race. There seemed to be enough going on, comers and going, comers and goers and things happening to keep me interested. So I was happy with that. My lap down is going to go to what I hope is not going to be a trend in having victory lane in a special fan zone where you have to have an extra added ticket to get access to it. I think that's kind of crappy. It was that way last week in Vegas. We did have the Neon Garage passes because we were never out there before, so we did want to check that out, and Victory Lane was there, and it just seems, I don't know, it just seems to be a letdown. It doesn't matter if you're watching it on TV, I get that, but if you're spending the money to be at the track, and now you have to spend more money to be able to see Victory Lane, I always like to hang out in the stands and let people clear out and stuff and just check all that stuff out. So that kind of takes away from that. So I hope that's not a trend where other tracks are going to start moving their victory lanes to a special hideaway fan zone. My lucky dog, I'm going to give it to the fans. NASCAR seems to be on an upswing with good racing, and things are improving. It's not perfect, but I think we're in the right direction. And there are still going to be some people who are complaining, but I think overall it seems like the fans are happy with the direction. And I think as time goes on, things are bound to improve. I'm really looking forward to see the rest of the season unfold. That's all I have for now, and I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Oh, Kathleen, good to have you back. I think you took a week off there while you were in Vegas, which is A-okay. Thanks for calling in. And hey, it's great to be a fan in any sport. That's all I got to say there. And Victory Lane, that's a bummer. you know, it's definitely an added bonus. It gives you a reason if you want to spend that extra time and hassle getting down to Victory Lane as a fan. You know, it helps to be able to do that. It's definitely could be a potential draw, some of the access. And you know, if tracks start charging extra for, you know, to get to certain areas on the track that they didn't ordinarily do, that definitely I could see leaving a sour taste in the mouth of some of the diehards and lifelongs at certain tracks. So for sure there, I feel you there. All right, let's get to the next call on the hotline.
Hey, Brandon, John Warrington at Racing_64. Phoenix has come and gone, and Kyle Busch did what Kyle Busch does. I was hoping Ryan Blaney was going to have enough to fend him off, but he just didn't quite have it. One thing I got to say about the new Phoenix layout, I don't like where they don't have the camera up high on what would be the backstretch now, you know, like where start-finish line used to be. It just, not having that shot just seems kind of weird. Because you only get the going across track view. So I wish they'd get a camera up there. But other than that, not much to say about new layout. It adds for a little more excitement on restarts. Lap down. Or lucky. Let's go Lucky Dog first. Kyle Busch in the Xfinity race for not only lapping the 01 couple laps before he decides to blow up, but when he the old one did blow up, he took out his best two competitors and handed in the race. So Kyle Busch gets my lucky dog for the Xfinity race. And lap down is going to be Kevin Harvick. He forgot to show up at his own playground and was a non-factor all day. So there we go. We're headed to California, and hopefully this race has been giving us some pretty good races the last couple of years, and I'm sure we'll see another good one later.
Oh, John, thanks for calling in. Appreciate it. You and I are on the same page there, both giving Kyle Busch our lucky dogs and Kevin Harvick lap down. Again, great minds think alike there. I love it. All right, we got one more call. Making his triumphant return after a week off for being out of town. You know who it is, Mr. Andrew Kantsian.
What's up, Brandon? Back from my one-week hiatus from conference. Last one. I feel old now that I'm graduating in May. Anyway, I thought we saw a pretty fun race at Phoenix. Probably not, you know, the most memorable race ever, but it was a fun race to watch. A lot of different strategies were kind of playing out there at the end, with kind of the way the cautions fell, you know, who's pitting, who needs to save gas. And it was actually really fun. I wish Fox did a better job showing this, but Martin Truex really came through the field. Well, I mean, he was lighting guys up, you know, another lap or two, and he's probably going to pass the 18. So I don't know what Fox's deal is this year, but their coverage has been horrible. You know, the commercials are one thing, and that's going to happen because, you know, it's a business and everyone's got to make money. But the battles that they're not showing are it's ridiculous the way their coverage is. I don't know what their malfunction is, but I really can't wait for NBC to take over. Their coverage is just miles better. So Fox is my easy lap down. It's hard not to give Kyle Busch the lucky dog. You know, he ran really well, 199 wins. Make that of it what you want. But I think my lucky dog is actually going to be Jimmy Johnson. I don't know where exactly he finished, but he was way up there, and he's run way better than he's probably run since I sat my ass in the grandstands at Dover when his last win was. So he's the lucky dog. I'm a lucky dog because I got two wins in a row in the Fantasy League, at least in the Cup Series. So let's see if old MTJ can make it three in a row for me. Have a good one, bud.
Mr. Andrew Kantsian, thank you for calling in. Good call there with Jimmy Johnson, I think. He finished eighth there in the Cup Series. And you must be the jinx. You know, maybe since he won the last race you were at, maybe you need to go to another race and good old seven time to victory lane there. We shall see. And it's funny, you know, you mentioned Fox, and obviously Fox has taken a beating on social media each weekend. You are the first person to give Fox the lap down there for the year. I wonder if that will start a trend there as well. All right, everyone, that is going to do it for the Lucky Dog and Lap Down segment this week. Don't forget to tweet your picks. Call the Wave Around Hotline. It's a fun way to interact. I love it. It's probably my... Well, it's definitely one of my top segments of the show, for sure. All right, let's get over to fantasy. Just a reminder to get your picks in by 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Keep the Twitter interaction up. That's also a ton of fun to see. We got 10 races to go in segment one. There is still a chance, so don't throw in the towel yet. Keep sending those picks in. No one was able to pick the winner in the Xfinity series this week. However, 14 players did pick Kyle Busch in the Cup race. Week high was 104 by Mike Tucker with his picks of Kyle Busch and Tyler Reddick. Second week high was 88 points by Mr. Andrew Cansey and David Mullins, Lisa Chinana, Paul Hellenbeck with their picks of Kyle Busch and Justin Allgaier. So good job there, guys. My picks for ISM, well, I had Christopher Bell, who was looking strong and wrecked and got me a whopping 26 points. And Kevin Harvick fell short, giving me 37 points. So that's how I did. Over to the top 10 in standings. In first place for the second week in a row is Robert Kiplinger with 474. In second place is Brad Kearns with 456. In third place with 454 is David Mullins. Two-way tie for fourth with 452 with John Entwistle and Chad Robb. Two-way tie for fifth with 434 with David James and Greg Whited. In sixth place is Matt Fossum with 431. Pete Kervin in seventh with 429. Mick Rose is in eighth with 425. In ninth place is John Warrington with 421. And a two-way tie for 10th with 419 with Drew Begman and Jeff Legg. All right, those are the standings. Let's get to the picks. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, for the second week in a row, Robert Kiplinger is still atop of the leaderboard, and this week, Rob was able to call in on the line, your current leader of the Lap Traffic standings. Rob, how are you, man?
Hey, Brandon, not too bad. How are you?
I am excellent. Thanks for calling in. Glad we were able to get it to work this week. So congratulations. You are the first person to hold the lead for 2 weeks in a row in the standings. I hope I don't jinx anything for you.
I hope not.
what'd you think of the races this past weekend at ISM?
So I only got to really watch the Cup race.
Okay.
It was okay. Half paying attention, half working on some work, unfortunately, but I don't know. You can't hate Kyle Busch, at least right now.
No, so you definitely not.
I'm looking forward to 200 this weekend.
There's no reason in my mind to believe that he won't get it. Yeah, there is definitely a good shot. Kyle Busch gets 200 this weekend. And like you were saying, you know, you hope it's in the Cup Series for sure.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Let's see. This past week, you had Harvick and Allgaier, who, even though Harvick didn't have his best performance and Allgaier had his issues in the Xfinity race, it was still enough to get the job done with an 18-point lead there, which is fantastic. So congratulations there. Sir, are you ready to make some picks for this weekend?
I am.
All right, let's get to some picks. We are wrapping up the West Coast swing as we head to Auto Club, a big, wide 2 mile track. The last five races at Auto Club saw five different winners. We got to go back to 2014 and 13 for our last back-to-back winner. Oh, and guess who that was? Mr. 199, Kyle Busch, who also finished third last year. Does he pick up win 200 this weekend? Kyle Larson picked up his first of four wins in 2017 at Auto Club. Can he pick up his first win for 2019 for him and Chevy? What about old seven time? He has six wins at Auto Club. Can he follow up his top 10 this past weekend with his first win since Dover 2017? Keselowski, Logano, and Martin Truex Jr. might have something to say about it. They are coming off back-to-back top fives at Auto Club, and Martin Truex Jr. is our recent winner. It's looking good for a solid day for Penske and Joe Gibbs again. Could Martin Truex Jr. give Joe Gibbs Racing its third win in five races? We will find out this weekend. But first, it is time for our picks. Over to our guest picker, Mr. Robert Keplinger. Who do you have for the Xfinity Series, sir?
I got Christopher Bell in the number 20.
C. Bell to make a rebound. I'm going with Justin Allgaier for a rebound as well, who finished second to Joey Logano last year. Let's go over to the Cup Series, sir. Who do you have?
It's going to be the number 18, Kyle Busch.
Kyle Busch for win 200. I love it. I am going with Kyle Larson because everyone else I've picked has been a dud. So why not Kyle Larson? Those are our picks. Can't wait to see who you guys take. Rob, thanks so much for calling in this week. Who knows? Maybe we'll get to talk to you again next week.
Of course. I hope so.
All right. I do too, man. Take it easy. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, that is going to do it for episode 116 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. Make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, at Lap Traffic PC. Check it out on Instagram, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Subscribe, download on iTunes, Podbean, or your favorite podcasting hosting site. Don't forget about the Twitter giveaway at 3,500 followers, just about 200 more to go. Go tell your friends to give a follow. Big thanks to the Orange Cone, Aaron Studwell, and Robert Keplinger for calling into the show this week. Working on next week's guests. Stay tuned to social media for that one. Don't get caught chasing the lucky dog. Make sure you tune in each and every week to the Lap Traffic Podcast. See ya!